So it's been called like really one of the most stunning political comebacks of all time. So how did Donald Trump do it?
A lot has changed since Donald Trump's election defeat in 2020, which triggered a crisis in democracy and the storming of the U.S. Capitol. Pundits are crediting Donald Trump with a savvier campaign organization, a firm grip on his political base, and sheer force of will with changing his political fortune. Trump and his team were able to seize on widespread discontent over the direction of the country, inflamed by stubborn inflation. He directed his message to a new generation, making strong use of podcasts and social media, telling those who feel forgotten that he shared their disdain for the status quo. I'm Jackie Quinn.
And Donald Trump has announced a history-making selection for his first chief of staff.
President-elect Donald Trump has named Susie Wiles as his White House chief of staff. Wiles was Trump's campaign manager and is widely credited within and outside Trump's inner circle for running a disciplined and well-executed campaign. Wiles is a longtime Florida-based Republican strategist who ran Trump's campaigns in Florida in 2016 and 2020. Before that, she ran Rick Scott's 2010 campaign for Florida governor. Wiles will be the first ever female chief of staff in U.S. history. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
And television viewership continues to fall at an accelerated rate, and election night was no exception.
Now, this may sound like a lot of people. About 42 million people watched on TV election night, says the Nielsen Company, as the returns poured in the Trump-Harris battle. But that's down sharply from the almost 57 million who watched in 2020, when Donald Trump and Joe Biden duked it out. Far more than that tuned in on election night in 2016, 71 million. So does this mean that Americans care less and less about the election? Not necessarily. Television viewership in general has slipped over the past decade, with people cutting cable and satellite subscriptions. So it's hard to know how much this downturn reflects people turning elsewhere for news that night, or simply being less interested in following the results. I'm Rita Foley.
The most populous state in America is fortifying their government ahead of Trump's move into the White House.
California Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom is calling for state lawmakers to convene a special session ahead of another Trump presidency. Newsom is a fierce critic of the former president and wants to safeguard the state's progressive policies. Newsom's office tells the Associated Press that the governor and lawmakers are ready to, quote, Trump-proof California's state laws. The governor is calling on the legislature to meet in December and give the Attorney General's office more funding to fight federal challenges. Trump often depicts California as representing all he sees wrong in America. I'm Mike Hempen.
All right, even before Trump takes office, there's some bad news for families with mixed immigration status.
A federal judge has struck down a Biden administration program that allowed undocumented spouses and stepchildren of U.S. citizens to apply for a green card without first having to leave the country. U.S. District Judge J. Campbell Barker ruled Thursday that the Biden administration overstepped its authority by implementing the Keeping Families Together program and had stretched the legal interpretation of relevant immigration law, quote, past its breaking point, end quote. Barker had put the program on hold in August, days after applicants had filed their paperwork, and Republican attorneys general from 15 other states filed a legal challenge, accusing the Biden administration of bypassing Congress. During Trump's first term, he appointed Barker as a judge in Tyler, Texas. I'm Donna Water.
The Department of Justice has unsealed criminal charges in a thwarted Iranian plot to kill Donald Trump.
A criminal complaint filed in federal court in New York City says an unnamed leader in Iran's Revolutionary Guard instructed a contact to put together a plan last month to track and ultimately assassinate Donald Trump. The contact's been identified as Farzad Shakari, who was told if he couldn't develop a plot by then, the Iranian official would wait until after the election, thinking it would be easier to reach Trump then if he had lost. Federal officials have been describing ongoing efforts by Iran to target U.S. government officials, including Trump, on U.S. soil. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Rudy, Rudy, Rudy. Dude, you just don't friggin' get it. The former New York mayor, former Trump attorney who was part of that ill-fated attempt to claim the 2020 election was stolen, is being ordered again to turn over his assets.
In New York, Rudy Giuliani is being ordered to quickly turn over prized assets as part of a $148 million defamation judgment. In 2020, Giuliani falsely accused Georgia poll workers Ruby Freeman and daughter Shay Moss of ballot fraud.
I didn't commit a crime. Nobody's been investigated for 20 years and you can't find a crime. I don't commit crimes.
The women say they face death threats after Giuliani accused them of sneaking in ballots in suitcases, counting ballots multiple times, and tampering with voting machines. Giuliani says this is similar to President-elect Donald Trump's legal issues.
They were all political trials, and a political verdict has been rendered, and very decisively, that was all a bunch of political harassment. Well, so is my case.
Giuliani is being ordered to turn over his $5 million Upper East Side apartment, luxury watches, and a shirt signed by New York Yankees legend Joe DiMaggio. I'm Ed Donahue.
You know, they're going to make him turn this stuff over. I mean, Rudy Giuliani, that poor, pathetic SOB. I mean, he's just a pathetic human being. You know, he was the mayor of the world. He was the mayor of America after 9/11, and he just has digressed into just a pathetic, disgusting human being. And he'll have to turn this stuff over. I mean, he can delay, but he's going to have to give it up. It's interesting that that $6 million penthouse in New York is now valued at, now it's being valued at like $5 million. And I guess it was devalued because people knew that Rudy Giuliani once owned it. The most popular books in this country right now are all tied to the current political landscape.
The top seller on Amazon's bestseller list as of Thursday is Melania, the memoir by former and future First Lady Melania Trump, Vice President-elect J.D. Vance's Hillbilly Elegy, and Timothy Snyder's On Tyranny, a bestseller from Trump's previous time in office, are both in the top 10. Donald Trump's photo book, Save America, as well as dystopian fiction like The Handmaid's Tale, 1984, and Fahrenheit 451 are in the top 40. Shannon DeVito of Barnes & Noble says after the election, books leaning both right and left politically rocketed up its charts. That includes Melania, On Tyranny, and War by Bob Woodward, as well as a massive bump for The Handmaid's Tale in 1984. I'm Archie Zaralletta.